This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Into the 8 o'clock hour. They got Sam and Jason, Noel, other side of the glass. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And good morning to all the folks out in Roopville.
Where?
Roopville.
Where is Roopville?
Roopville is out west of the city, out around Carroll County.
Really?
You know who's from Roopville?
Who is from Roopville?
Keith Jackson. Well, Nelly.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
From Roopville.
What high school does Roopville feed into?
You know what? That's a good question.
I'm just trying to place it.
I'm not totally sure.
Huh.
Yeah, look at it.
Let's figure this out.
Which high school? And I know the high school's out in that part of the area. I'm not sure which one exactly is Roopville. We have to check it out and see.
I am not sure about Roopville. I'm sure it's a lovely place. If Keith Jackson came from there, then it's got good genes.
And there's a possum hunting moon out there. A possum hunting moon.
A lot of people ran off the road when they heard that one.
Well, he would talk about that from time to time. Being true to his Georgia roots, he was at the time. Glad you've been with us on this Sunday morning. It's Sam. It is Jason Longshore. Greg is on assignment. He's away. We're not sure exactly where he is. We have a suspect, we think. And it'll be Jason and I again tomorrow morning, as well as tomorrow's President's Day. We will be here with you tomorrow morning. Hope you will join us. You wake up, and if you don't have to go to work tomorrow, if you're out of school tomorrow, just come and hang out with us. And so we'll be in for the morning shift and part of the steakhouse tomorrow morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is All-Star Weekend. We talked about that a little bit, and that has a little bit to do with what we got coming up. Three cheers and three jeers. And I don't know how you guys own All-Star Games. Maybe that's just a big cheer for everybody right now.
Really?
I don't know. But I got three cheers. You know, okay. I don't know what Noel has. But I'll go first.
Yeah.
My three cheers for this week. Three cheers. And I got like a fourth thing, just thing that's by itself there. Really, my first cheer this week is has to do with All-Star Game. And has to do with players being recognized. Trae Young made the All-Star team. He got a chance to be a part of the NBA All-Star.
Should have been there from the beginning.
Should have been there from the very beginning. The assist leader, he's done that. And just the way, even after, you know, not getting in the first time, he just goes out there and does his thing and plays. This team did, you know, traded away some pieces, one that we thought was doing very well for us, DeAndre Hunter. And we've got some guys in here, Jason, who I think want to be here. Mm-hmm. And since the trade, they're 3-1, should have been 4-0 if they could have pulled out that win up in New York. But great to see Trae get a chance to go and be a part of All-Star Weekend. That is good. Another one is something that I saw last night that I thought was pretty cool. Is this NHL Four Nations Tournament. I don't know how many people watched it. I thought it was great. It has a great look. The sweaters they're wearing look these things are going to fly off the merchandise rack. Mm-hmm. They look so good. And the USA against Canada last night, they dropped the puck, and everybody dropped the gloves, man. Some of the best hockey fights I've seen in a while. It was just great stuff.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
It was. It was, and Team USA won. In lieu of having an all-star game this year, this is what the NHL has given us.
I like the idea. I really do. I think it's a cool thing that, you know, we're seeing copycat things happen across leagues. I wonder if the NBA will be looking at that. They're going to kind of a tournament idea in their all-star format.
Yep.
This is international competition, and, of course, me coming from the soccer world,
yep,
that is a key driver in soccer's international competition. We're seeing it with the passion for these games. I mean, people, you know, trying to make something out of Canadians booing the U.S. anthem. Well, duh, right now, of course. And second, you get hockey going, they're going to boo the national anthem anyway. But when you have the other things happening, and that's going to happen. That's what you get out of international competition.
Yep.
You get some of the best of that sport in action for you.
And for the people who get to participate, you get some passion to really go out and play.
It's different. It's a different vibe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my second cheer. My third cheer would be for something musical. This week, the nominees came out for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Atlanta's Outkast is among the nominees. The question is, if they win, will the two get together and do some Outkast music?
I think they would for that. I think
I don't know.
In a one-off, I think we would.
We might get a song.
Yeah.
And we'll take it and hold on to it.
The way those usually go.
We're not going to bring the flute.
Probably not.
So y'all let him bring the flute. So
I bring the flute. Y'all, I mentioned the flute and y'all got quiet.
No, he can bring the flute. It's all good. If that gets him there, I'm all good with it. A lot of times you see a group come and do a song, maybe two, and then they have other nominees or other inductees or, you know, friends of theirs from over the years, and you have kind of a special performance. That could be really cool. And I think for something like that, they would. I know people, and I'll throw a jeer to people who get bent out of shape about hip-hop being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's a music Hall of Fame, okay? It's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't care. We're past those days.
Yep.
Outkast deserves to be in there. They are one of the greatest artists of our time, and I would like to think that there would be a special set of performances for that.
Yeah, that's what we. So those are my three cheers for this week. A little outside to Maya Moore and Dwight Howard being finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame, the whole folks. So
I have a few. Okay. I'll give a cheer to another musical performance. We'll talk about Saturday Night Live a little bit with the big anniversary show tonight that you'll be able to watch. But they did a special concert on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I had no expectations for how some of these, and these are some crazy performances of different people coming together and doing things that you didn't expect. I had really no expectations. And somebody that I've not been a huge fan of, I haven't disliked, but I haven't been passionate about is Post Malone.
Yeah.
Post Malone with the surviving members of Nirvana was mind-blowingly good.
Okay.
And just to see those guys who, you know, if you don't know Nirvana, that's my era of alternative music. I fell in love with that. It was game-changing for rock and roll in the early 90s. Kurt Cobain committed suicide in 1994, and those guys have only played together a handful of times. One was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where they had special guest singers to come out and play. And they've done maybe a very small handful of performances as Nirvana with someone singing. Post Malone, I did not have on my bingo card to do that.
Yeah.
And it was really good. And you could see all of their faces. They were smiling and having a blast. So to the point that now people are saying, well, they should do more stuff together. That was super cool. That was totally unexpected. We were talking about it a little bit off air. The halftime performance last week of the Super Bowl, I loved it.
All right.
I'm not like a hardcore Kendrick Lamar fan, but I can appreciate his hating right now, and the way that he did this performance, knowing what everybody wanted, knowing the song that everybody wanted, and the way he built to it, and the way he teased it, and then dropped it.
Right.
The turn and look at the camera is one of the most iconic moments of a live music performance ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Just unbelievable. Really, really cool. And then I'll go to, you know, another one for me is Miguel Almirón being back with Atlanta United and getting to see him up close yesterday in that preseason game. You know, we're at the training facility, you're really close to the field calling it, and just to see the impact that he has on this team already, when he's only had a couple of weeks practicing with this group,
right?
You're seeing these connections form, and it's really cool to see. I think you'll see the best of it in the maybe the summer once we get there. You're going to see flashes now. I think you're going to see this team win games now with those flashes. But by the time you get to the summer and he's on the same page with all the guys around him, watch out. Could be a lot of fun.
Yep, yep. You see, has he lost a step or a fraction of a step?
He's still different. I mean, he's still very, very fast, but he's not as fast as he was 6 years ago. Right. And nobody is. Yeah, like, yeah. That's just not going to happen. I'm not. I'm definitely not. It ain't happening. So, like, he's maybe faster thinking than he was then because of all the experience. But, yeah, he's not quite as fast. He's still very fast.
Fantastic. Noel, do you have three? What are you cheering or jeering this morning?
I am cheering. It has to be exceptionally bad for me to jeer. That's that. Those are the rules I've given myself.
You catch me in the right mood, I'll jeer, but yeah, I'm good right now.
So my first cheer goes to Shaquille O'Neal doing whatever he wants on live television.
I know, that's right.
That was an amazing moment. Let's see. We have number two, Sanaa Lathan at the UNC game.
That whole thing was amazing.
Yeah, first of all, that the star-studded event that was the women's basketball game with
Kevin
UNC
Hart
was insane.
I mean,
yeah, everybody was in that guy. But for them to put up Monica Wright shooting the free throw and keeping the arm in the air on the jumbotron, that was just great stuff. that was just great stuff. I was like, oh man, great job, UNC. USC. You didn't waste the moment. And third, to spin the block back to what Jason was just talking about, Sam Jackson as Uncle Sam.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The whole pageantry of that performance.
Yes.
Like, a Super Bowl halftime show is hard. It's hard to put together. You're not going to do full songs. You're going to do bits of them. You know, you have to not just go and play.
Right.
Like, I think the only one who got away with that and it's still the best ever was Prince.
Prince, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Prince, because, I mean, it rained.
Yeah.
And you did Purple Rain in the rain.
Yeah, the sky opened.
And he killed
you.
It. Come on.
Yeah.
But after that, I'll be curious in the long term where that Kendrick performance sits for a lot of people. I mean, it's polarizing right now because everything is.
Yeah, but like, I'm like, worst ever.
Great.
Like, y'all say
not even close. Not
like,
even
y'all
close.
Say that, like, Black Eyed Peas didn't exist.
Yeah,
that happened.
Yeah.
I still remember that. That happened.
I can pull some of those weird MTV ones out from, like, 1999 and 2000 where it was, like, Aerosmith and Britney Spears
and NSYNC.
Yeah,
this weird hodgepodge.
Like, what are you doing? I think Nelly did one with a couple different people that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, they had this weird hodgepodge going on.
Yeah, not even close. This was a great performance. You can like it or not like it, but, you know, be fair in what you don't like and how you talk about it. I thought it was great, and I thought Samuel Jackson was a great addition to it.
Wasn't he? But I thought one of the brilliant things that Kendrick did, because these halftime shows the past 10 years, I've noticed, they have what I consider to be this awkward ballad moment where they want to give you like 4 minutes of the 13-minute set in like slow-down ballad mode.
Yeah, you got to be
careful. And it's
that.
A weird transition. Mm-hmm. But the way Kendrick did it was brilliant, because he teases the moment we want.
Right.
And then he goes, you know what? I'm going to slow it down.
It was the teasing.
Yeah,
that
you teased
so
it, and
good.
It was like, I'm going to slow it down instead. So it walked us into that moment of kind of turning down the tempo a bit. And then when he turned it back up with Peekaboo, and it was crazy.
I thought he did a good job with stuff, you know, even if you're not hardcore into it, like, you've heard 3-4 songs in that set.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if
like most people know
it's
Humble.
Part of pop culture. Humble is one of the best tracks of the last 20 years.
Yeah, like Squabble Up is huge right now because the album just dropped. Of course, everybody knows Not Like It. So you even as a novice fan, you knew like 4 or 5. Because like for me, Kendrick, all three of the quote-unquote big three, right? Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake, I've actively ignored all three the entire time. Like, I've been in that underground music scene, so I was aware of them, knew everything that was going on from the very beginning, but it was never like, oh, let me go grab that and listen to that.
Yeah.
But GNX is like the first time that Kendrick really grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
And the beef did help kind of walk me there. Like, Not Like Us, yes, was a banger and all of that, but Meet the Grams, if you haven't heard, is vicious. They managed to be arrested for Meet the Grams.
Euphoria as well. Like, I mean, dude, the
and rap
hating
that too.
Level.
Yeah. Rap that at Super Bowl too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, the icing on the cake for me was definitely Samuel Jackson as Uncle Sam deducting one life.
Yeah, it was amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
They made it all work with the music. With the way it was mixed, the pacing of the set, the visuals were amazing, and then Samuel Jackson on top of it.
Yeah.
Just perfect. Really, really well done.
Being a tennis person, Serena Williams making her appearance.
Oh, that was – no, not just Serena making her appearance. We made an appearance in a tennis skirt. Did y'all notice that?
Yep.
Because we're referencing the Wimbledon situation. So we're out there in the tennis skirt. Like, it's
cool.
Layers to this.
And the way that they shot it, too, whoever was on this on the directing and producing side nailed it. Because it pops up and you're like, whoa, that's Serena.
Yes.
And then they came back to it. And you're like, oh.
You're okay. Like, that is Serena. Oh, man.
Yeah,
but the scene of behind the scenes footage of her practicing to do it, that was just great. I was like, we had rehearsal?
Yeah.
Amazing moment.
So good.
Amazing moment.
So good. They did a great job with that.
All right. We had all cheers this week. I mean, some weeks we may have cheers, but this week we had three cheers. So that's our segment that we do. Each and every Sunday at 8 a.m., we do three cheers or three cheers. We had cheers today. All right. I'll tell you someone else who was cheering. Terrell Thomas. Why? Because his favorite team won the Super Bowl last week.
Is he still cheering?
And he actually went to the parade.
Oh, he is still cheering.
Yeah, so he's coming back, and we're going to try to get him to talk about a little NBA, but I know he's going to talk a lot about Philadelphia. That's coming up next, folks, when you stay with us on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929thegame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com. Got Sam and Jason with Greg on assignment. Noel, other side of the glass. And when you hear that, you instantly think of one city, don't you?
You do.
You do. You really do. And you think about those steps going up and, right, at the end of the run. The city is still celebrating. Still celebrating, no doubt. And someone who's up there being part of the celebration this week is our friend Terrell Thomas, who joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Terrell, welcome back to Atlanta. Congratulations on your team winning, and how was the celebration?
Good morning, good morning. Thank you very much for having me. It was an amazing celebration. I can't even describe or put into words just how fun the experience was, and it was an added bonus for me. I had my kids with me to experience the parade. And this is the third time, luckily, that I've experienced, I experienced the Braves parade here. We went to that to kind of check that out when the Braves won. But this is my third time experiencing a parade in Philadelphia with the Phillies in 08, then the Eagles in 17, and the Eagles now. And this one took the cake. So it was a great experience, and I was glad that everyone stayed safe and we were able to celebrate the beginning of a dynasty over the next few years in Philadelphia.
You didn't climb any light poles, did you?
No. I stayed. My feet were on the ground the entire time. I didn't do any jumping, any climbing, any of that. I'm a little a little too old. You know, you fall from that, it might not be a recovery for the next 3 to 4 months.
You took the young folks with you, right?
Yes, indeed.
What did they think of all this?
Oh, they had an amazing time. So Selah, actually, when we got up there, she decided to stay and watch with my grandma. So she watched it in the house. She didn't want to do all the walking. And so Mello were the two guys. And we got out about 6 a.m. in the morning. And we walked half of Philadelphia, I would say, from the stadiums and then ended up in center. So he had a blast. He had an amazing time. He got to meet a few of the players, Carter and Quinion Mitchell, Darius Slay, the guy on the bus and coming over and interacting and such.
That's cool.
So he had an amazing, great to see him so happy out there.
You mentioned you want to see this being a dynasty. What do you think they need to do to make that happen for next year?
2 years ago, a gentleman that plays up in Ohio was in Philadelphia for some training camp scrimmages, and he mentioned that before his career was over, he would love to be an Eagle. And now that gentleman has requested a trade from Cleveland. So we can go on ahead and
wow.
get Myles Garrett.
See.
And, or Max Crosby. Max Crosby.
We were talking about this earlier,
around.
Terrell. They need to come to Atlanta. What are you talking about?
Yeah, really?
We got to find a way to get somebody.
We need the pass rush down here, man. Come on. We need the pass rush down here.
Atlanta has to take baby steps. So before they go ahead and get the
You've
top
been baby stepping top for a long agent, time.
I know that's right. Look at baby step. We've been crawling, man.
They need to go in the backyard. Go get some Georgia guys, some Alabama guys. You know, we're flooded with both Georgia and Alabama guys and Philadelphia. And then maybe some guys will want to come here. The Falcons tried the free agent thing with Captain Kirk, and I don't really think that worked out too well. So they might try to, you know, get some homegrown players. That seems like that's been a recipe for a few teams over the last 2 years, and they'll be fine. Falcons will be fine.
Yeah. Well, what was the vibe around the city, though? What was the feel just to be back in town? The crowd looked incredible.
It just seemed to be utter bliss, to be all the way honest with you. You know, with Philadelphia, we kind of thrive off of, I'm glad that Noel threw that Rocky theme out there, the city of underdogs. When you think of Rocky and such, and Jalen Hurts has been a quarterback over the last 2 years. He's been under a lot of scrutiny, which to me is kind of crazy because the Eagles have been winning, and he's our quarterback. You know, with a lot of programs, no matter how great the quarterback is, when the team is winning, the quarterback gets a lot of the praise, and when the team is losing, sometimes unjustly, the quarterback gets a lot of the flack. Jalen Hurts is getting a lot of flack, win or lose. So to see him win the Super Bowl MVP, it seems like the city was embracing that. It was a lot of bliss in the city, so that was great to see as well.
All right, I have no segue for this, but I need you to smarten me up a little bit about what's going on with the Hawks. I've been really busy getting ready for this upcoming Atlanta United season, a whole bunch of new faces on the Atlanta United side, so I've been in the lab on that. How do you feel about all the different moves that the Hawks have made and where they stand right now?
I was extremely skeptical, to be honest with you, at first. I hated to see DeAndre Hunter walk out the door. It seemed like when he finally was beginning to turn a curve, we got rid of him. I think this was the best season he's had thus far in the NBA, certainly his best season as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Easily could be, or right now was easily in the lead to be the sixth man of the year coming off of the bench for the Hawks. And to see them get rid of him was utterly surprising to me, to be honest with you. However, the pieces in which we got back, when you look at Terrence Mann, when you look at Caris LeVert, those are guys who may not be household names, but they have game, and they've contributed in this league for the past few seasons. And also, just kind of the record speaks for itself. The Hawks have only lost one game in their last 5 games since getting these guys, since making these acquisitions. So, you know, sometimes I don't know exactly where Landry and the front office, like what direction they're going towards. And I know Hawks fans are thriving, and, you know, they won a championship. They won a parade, and I believe they should get one very soon if the Hawks can make the right moves. So I was surprised, but I think the Hawks are still – their trajectory is still pointing up when we look at what they have left remaining after this All-Star break.
Spending time on the WadeFor.com hotline, always great to spend some time with Terrell Thomas, even when he's been up in Philadelphia, right? He comes back here and hangs out with us. Great to see him. He is social. You can find him at Eldorado 2452, at Eldorado 2452. All right, moving forward with this Hawks team. And first of all, the news we also got this week that Trae Young is out of the All-Star game. And I know that's something we all felt like he should have been there from the beginning, right?
Yes, indeed. I was very pleased, ecstatic to hear that, because it seemed like the guy got robbed. And it's one of those things where you – you don't want to, you know, frown upon the gentleman who did make it, because everyone, when you're balling, you're balling. And some of those names out there, when you look at the Garlands and such, they deserve to be there. I wasn't the biggest believer that Tyler Herro should have been there, but I still tip my hat on him getting the nod. Unfortunate injury with Giannis not being there, but it worked to our advantage because Trey should have been there, and in my opinion, should have been a starter from the go. You look at a gentleman who's leading the NBA in assists, and he's another one, although the record may not show it. I think this is the best season in which he's had thus far, mm-hmm. because every night you don't know what you're going to get from Trey, but he does just what the Hawks need to win. It hasn't always equated in a win, I understand that, but if it's a night where he needs 40 points, he goes out there and gets 40 points. If it's a night where he needs 20 points and 20 assists, he's going out there and doing that. And I've heard people say that, you know, Trey's just this showman or he's this ball hog. And it's like, well, you can't be watching the game
because
he's been in the league.
That drives
since he's
me
been
crazy.
In the league, he's been in the top three every year in assists. So I'm very happy that he's out there. And I hope today is not one of those situations where he doesn't get a lot of playing time, where he really gets to showcase his talents on a national stage.
How much of a difference is Dyson Daniels making? I think that's part of it. You know, he's got some help defensively. He's got the right type of running partner back there, you know, in the backcourt with him.
Yeah, Dyson has made a tremendous, has been a tremendous help, I'll say, for Trae Young and for the Hawks, because Trae has, over the years, been a defensive liability. I will say,
absolutely.
I believe under the last two seasons with Coach Snyder, that defensive prowess has improved. I see Trae almost like Allen Iverson, almost like Iverson, where Iverson wasn't the biggest guy on the court, but he learned how to play the passing lanes and such. And there have been a few nights this season where Trae's had two steals, three steals. Some of that has been because he's realized, okay, I may not be able to guard you one-on-one, just, you know, stand in front of you and stop you, but if I can anticipate these passes and play this passing lane, it'll work well. I also think Dyson is attributed to that as well, because he has been a defender who will just take whoever the best guard or forward is and, you know, play them man up one-on-one, and that allows Trae to move around a little bit more to play those passing lanes. Dyson's a guy who's been leading the NBA in steals, and just it's rare that we see a guard since the days of Michael Jordan, you know, in that final run, and Gary Payton as being a defensive player of the year. But I do think his name should at least be mentioned in that running to be possibly the defensive player of the year, because his defensive prowess has been phenomenal this season.
So all that being said about the Hawks and with the moves that they've made, what do you think the ceiling is for this group this season?
I think, you know, with so many new guys in the locker room, it's kind of hard to gauge. You know, with as long as Trey's at the helm of things, and we see Jalen, unfortunately, of course, who's hurt, when the nucleus is the nucleus, I think all is well. So I think it's still very positive. I think the guys still have playoff aspirations. But it's kind of hard. I have to see over the next few games, and especially once the guys get back home, just how the new pieces are, how well they're gelling, and get a better a better feel for just where they are mentally in their locker room and such.
It's nice to have some pieces come in and guys who really play like they want to be here. And that's one thing I can say about the acquisitions that have come over to this team. They really feel like they play like they're happy to be here in Atlanta, and the opportunity that they're getting compared to the teams that they came from. That's a big step in the right direction right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you're in a program, it's like anywhere, even, you know, us who have 9-to-5s and things like that, when you feel wanted, you play better, you work harder, you go in there with a positive attitude, and that's what I feel like we see from these guys. Some of these guys are sitting on the bench. They were deep on the bench. Coach Quinn has been giving them playing minutes, and they're making the best out of it. So I think, again, the best still may be yet to come for the Hawks this season. They can still creep in and still, you know, secure a 6th or 7th seed in the Eastern Conference, and maybe a little bit more if they can continue to be on the winning side of things. So, yeah, it's great to see that these guys are taking these roles and happy to play in their new roles.
What do you take from today? Today the All-Star game is actually going to be played with the All-Star games, the way they're doing it in a mini tournament. Do you like the format, and what are you expecting this evening?
I don't know. I really wish we would go back to the East versus West and just kind of let it play out. Excuse me. Let it play out there. Excuse me. Starting to get choked up thinking of Trae Young. I get emotional about that guy when they don't give him his due. I really wish they would go back to the East and West format, to be quite honest with you. And I've been hearing so many different things. I heard you gentlemen mention earlier when you were speaking on hockey and kind of the U.S. versus the world, that may be something that the NBA explores in the future. So I got to see how this plays out. I wasn't really a fan of it when I saw the draft taking place and how they have the team. We have Candace Parker as a coach and Kenny as a coach, Shaq as a coach. So I am interested to see how it plays out. But I wish they would just go back to how it was when I was growing up, and you just had the East versus West out there. Or I would be more interested to kind of see USA versus the world, with the game being so international now, and seeing some of these other guys and just see how those matchups, how they would play about.
I like the USA versus the world idea. I'm with you, though. I'm old school. I'd be great with East versus West. And you look back at some of those games, and I know now with all the player movement, like, guys aren't Eastern Conference guys and guys aren't Western Conference guys. Back in the day, they were.
Right.
And you had a lot of pride in that game because of that.
And that's a little different now. But like I said, we're going to see what they do tonight, see how people like it, see if it's something we keep, or if we're going to that USA International. I'm kind of liking that. And see what happens if that doesn't
go.
I do. I'm down with that.
Terrell, I think that's where we need to go.
Yeah, I'm down with that for sure. Terrell, we getting you to some Atlanta United games this season?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I know you had a long day yesterday. I was tuned in as I was riding around.
135 minutes. Three halves.
Yeah, that was funny, the three half aspect. But I'm looking forward to see, of course, with, you know, like Miggy being back and some of the new pieces that are out there. Atlanta United games are some of my favorite places to be in the city. Those games are always electric, no matter who they're playing. So certainly I'm looking forward to getting out to a few games this season. Soccer Clown is one of my favorite clowns of the year.
Excellent.
And, you know, I learned so much from you. You're calling and when you're on air. So, yes, indeed. Looking forward to you getting more airtime and seeing what the United had to offer out there on the field.
No, I appreciate it. And I'll tell you all, the new striker, Latte Lott, he is fast, like crazy fast. A couple times yesterday, me and Jared are watching him close people down defensively.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he can get to that ball. He got to the ball. He's very, very fast. He's going to be a fun one to watch.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. Terrell, thanks so much for spending some time with us, man. Glad you had a safe trip up to Philadelphia and back, and looking forward to seeing you really soon and having you back on the show with us, too.
Kyle, always a pleasure talking to you, gentlemen, talking with Noel. Y'all be great. Have a great week.
All right. That is Terrell Thomas. Always great to catch up with him back from Philadelphia, and also give us some update on the Hawks and what to expect when we go back from the All-Star break. All right, folks, coming up next, we used to do casting call, but there's very something special happening this weekend. If you're fans of Saturday Night Live, we're going to talk about that some too. You stay with us. It is Sam, it is Jason, and Noel on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Speak to you.
Right.
But the cool thing about tonight is you're going to get, I think, those elements of those different eras mixing together. That's what I hope to see tonight. I don't know about y'all. If you're going to watch, I hope to see some of my favorites, obviously, because I'm selfish. But I want to see some of those cast members from different eras that never interacted in a same skit together. I think that could be really fun. The writing's got to be there to pull that off. But if you get, you know, people like Sandler and Will Ferrell in the same group together, you know, that's like, okay, where can this go?
Right.
How crazy can this get? I want to see some of that.
Going to be that. Noel, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I agree with Jason. I was thinking when he said it, I was sitting over here thinking about Amy, Tina, and Jane Curtin being in a skit together.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Like, how crazy would that be, right?
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
I want to see, we probably won't get this, but I would love to see Garrett Morris do his reparations bit.
Yes.
Now, my grandparents aren't here, but if you'd like to donate, it's one of the funniest bits they let him do those first 2 or 3 years on the show.
It's so funny to look back at these different eras, and there's a really good YouTube channel that I found. For whatever reason, the last couple of years, I got into reading about the history of the show, and it's such an interesting one because it's different every year. Like, you have eras of, like, key cast members that kind of define how things would go, but every season is different, but it's the same show for 50 years. So it's really cool to see how, look, some casts, it didn't work. Like, people didn't get along. They didn't play off of one another very well.
Like Damon Wayans?
Yeah, and he's
that
brilliant.
That one season of Damon Wayans on SNL that nobody even realized happened.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on there.
Yep,
and it's like, people forget that. Like, some people don't fit in that format, and then some people thrive in it. It's just, you never know what the chemistry is going to be until you get a few episodes in.
Yep, you really do.
Yeah. And the cast will dictate, like, that's what makes it the same show but different, or as Kobe would say, the same animal and a different monster in the same day or whatever the saying was. But that's what makes it the same but different is the people that's in the show. Like the Adam Sandler years where a whole skit could be just him and his guitar doing a song is going to be different from the years now or the Will Ferrell years. Like they're just different.
But then you get stuff, and music's been such a big part of it, and I know all of us love music, and we'll get into whether we're talking musical guests on the show,
right,
which is at times iconic moments in pop culture,
like,
and music history. Sinead O'Connor, I mean, that was one that nobody expected at that point, and it had a lot of backlash against her. You've seen people make debuts there and immediately become world superstars. Like,
right.
it's one of those things. But then there's music in the show. And, you know, Adam Sandler brought a ton of that during his era. That was when I was young and I was watching the show. And he'd do Opera Man and just be randomly babbling, singing like an opera singer. And it was hilarious. But then you had Andy Samberg and Lonely Island and that group come together and do those bits.
Yeah,
and
the digital shorts. Thank you, Adam Samberg.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable stuff. And it's, again, it's all in the same show. Like, you've got this lineage of what the digital shorts did. You go back to Weekend Update, which at times is some of the funniest stuff you will ever see anywhere. And at times it didn't have the right people and the right writing, and it just fell flat.
But you know which version of Weekend Update I actually like that a lot of people don't?
Okay.
Is Norm MacDonald.
He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Norm's whole thing was, I know you're not going to laugh. I'm laughing at you for not laughing at my joke. That's the whole joke.
I can see why that would land flat,
but yep. I always thought it was so funny.
It was tough because he followed, and I think there might have been an in-between, but Dennis Miller was
really good
at Weekend Update. He was great. But then, you know, you mentioned, you know, Tina and Amy, like, to be able to come in and come at it from a very different perspective and make it work and win people over. That was great.
Or Colin and Shay now.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't even, like, they almost feel unremovable at this point.
I know. That's what's so funny about this show, that it's 50 years old. You have had, I don't know how many cast members in their history. We can sit here and argue about the best cast member ever all day and not come to a consensus. But you do have something like Weekend Update that has generally been there from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this common line from, you know, the Chevy Chase era to today.
My thing always goes to the house band, which started out with this group called Stuff. Back in that, they were basically a jazz group, and Richard T was playing the keyboards. A guy named Eric Gale played guitar. And you think about that, you're talking about G.E. Smith.
At
the time when he's playing guitar, and then Lenny Pickett playing the saxophone, old Tower Power guy playing the saxophone.
That opening
has always stayed consistent. The person comes out to the guest, and you get that side shot to show that you actually have, well, first of all, the clock.
You always have the clock to show
you what time it is. And you always have that side angle shot with the guest to show the crowd. Yeah, we have a live audience in this room for this thing. So that has been consistent. And I just think whenever I see that, think of the people who come out and made that stand. You get that side shot with the crowd applauding them. And it's been nice sometimes with certain skits from the very beginning where they include the crowd or have somebody sitting in the crowd.
Oh, when they put the plant in the crowd?
Right, you know. So I always thought that was pretty cool.
So Esquire did the 25 best cast members. I'll give you the top five.
Okay.
Number five was John Belushi.
Number five. Belushi gets five.
Going back to the early days of it, he was, you talk about somebody taking over a show, he was that guy in that era. Number four was Tina Fey.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And just one of the smartest comics you can find. And she could do so many different things. The Sarah Palin character was just unbelievable.
But she's an incredible writer.
Yeah, that too. And even behind the scenes stuff that she wasn't on camera in made it great. Eddie Murphy was three.
Of course, yeah.
One of the rare guys, and you know, when you're doing an ensemble thing, you don't want somebody to eclipse the rest of the group. He went so far past the rest of the group at that time. They're just like, all right, cool. We're going to base the whole show around you. And he was that good. The celebrity hot tub.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I saw that recently. I went back and looked at that.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah. But, you know. Any of the Gumby stuff was just, I mean, come on. And so many different layers to the Eddie Murphy stuff on SNL was great. Number two was Phil Hartman.
Okay. Oh, Miss
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah.
Phil's hilarious in everything he did.
Unbelievable. And he would do everything.
Yes.
I think he set the record for being in the most sketches in one show. I want to say it was almost every sketch, maybe, but missed one.
I believe it. His Bill Clinton was hilarious.
Yeah, Bill Clinton was great.
The Bill Clinton at the McDonald's.
Yes,
is one
that's
of my
that's the one that I'm literally looking at in my mind right now.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. They gave number one at Esquire to Will Ferrell.
Okay. I mean, I could see some recency bias. Yeah, I can see. I feel like you're one through really the whole top five. It can kind of go in any order you choose, just depending on what era you're most familiar with. Like, I would probably pick Tina Fey just because of my era, but I can't argue with Eddie Murphy. I think everything he did was hilarious. Belushi was hilarious in his own way. The Blues Brothers stuff, the Joe Crocker impression.
Go back to music. Yeah.
Right. Just immensely talented.
Chris Farley is one of my all-time favorites. Yeah.
And you kind of forget him. Like
Down by the River.
You know, and somebody I saw that was in the crowd for the musical on Friday was John Lovitz.
I was just thinking about
Super
John Lovitz.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, right.
Who is that? Who's that one for you
Morgan
guys?
Morgan Fairchild. Yeah.
Who is that one for you two that is somebody that we maybe forget about that's one of your favorites?
Wow.
From any era of the show.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, like, Joe Piscopo. I don't know where he is or what he's doing or whatever, but you know, you reminded me that he was Eddie Irving.
He was Eddie's number two.
Yeah,
Eddie's and they played off each other so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Noel?
For me, and this is going to sound crazy because he's still there, but I think Kenan gets a little slept on.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think Kenan Thompson gets a little. Like, he is single-handedly held that show down for a couple of years when the staff was thin and you had more new players than old players, and you could consistently throw Kenan out there with What's Up With That, and especially when Sudeikis was still on there.
Yeah.
Put Sudeikis in that jumpsuit and put the wig on Kenan and we'll do What's Up With That, and it's going to be hilarious. So, yeah, I don't think Kenan Thompson gets his full due.
Yeah.
For how long he's been able to do this and still be relevant and still be funny. So, yeah, for me, it's definitely Kenan.
Shout out to our home folks. Shout out Tri-Cities. Tri-Cities High School, yeah.
He became, in a way, he's like the Phil Hartman of the current group.
Yeah.
He can be in every sketch, and he can make it work. The one for me, and Dana Carvey's always been one of my favorites.
I love Dana Carvey.
I thought he was
not
brilliant.
Not gonna do it.
George Bush was incredible. Church Lady was incredible.
Yes.
But the one who gets slept on the most, in my opinion, who was massive on the show, was Jan Hooks.
Okay.
Jan Hooks.
Yeah, you're right.
Could do anything and everything on that show. And she didn't really want to be out front either. Like, it was a lot of times her best stuff was being the second character in the sketch, which is really hard to do.
Yeah, sometimes that's the glue.
Yeah, it's easy to be the one over the top and be crazy. Like, Jimmy Fallon could be the one over the top and break and laugh and everybody would have fun with it. But to be the number two, to make everything work.
Yeah.
Like, I think Phil Hartman was great at that, but Jan Hooks was incredible. One of the best to ever be on that show.
Quick question before we get out of here.
Yeah.
What's your favorite SNL movie? Because there's a million of them.
There's a whole bunch, and there's some bad ones, too.
Yes, there are.
There are some very
there's
bad
There's a bad
ones.
One that I love. The Ladies' Man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they did a movie
with
that.
Tim Meadows.
Oh,
I love The Ladies' Man.
That is a bad movie.
It is.
Yes. The sketch was good. What about you, Sam?
I don't know. What are you going to do? Some, like, Stripes?
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would probably go with Wayne's World.
I was thinking that one.
That was great.
Dun, 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 dun,
I mean,
dun, dun.
And the movie wasn't brilliant, but it worked.
Yeah.
It's hard to take a 5-minute sketch and turn it into a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy to do. There's not a lot of sketches that lend itself to it. I think they did a pretty good job with Wayne's World.
I think my absolute favorite, and I've seen a lot of them, and this may be my own era bias, but Mean Girls is the most clever, subtle SNL movie.
It's genius.
That it's so subtle, too. Like, if you don't, because of the demographic it's written for, you cannot realize it's an SNL movie, but it is littered. Tim Meadows in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, it is littered with SNL castmates. So that's got to be one of my favorites. And it might be the most, might be enduring, at least of the recent stuff.
And you get back to, you know, Tina Fey being genius.
Tina and Amy together.
That one is just such a well-done movie. You've had so many people who've come through that show. And what Lorne Michaels did creating it. Yeah. And look, sports has had huge moments on that show, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you think back to some of the athletes that have been on, and some of them have been very awkward but funny. Like Joe Montana. If you haven't seen Joe Montana's SNL appearance, that was really funny. There's been some that have been really bad.
Peyton was hilarious on SNL.
Isn't that kind of when people were like, whoa, wait a minute. He's not just a big goofy guy.
It was starting because I'll never forget the Amex commercial where he's like buying the spies and stuff, the spa days and stuff for the defensive end so that they don't hurt him during the season. That was my first one to go like, okay, this guy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he's been able to carry that for 20 years. But to your point, I think SNL was a huge moment for him to go, wait a minute, Peyton can do a little more than just throw a football and say Omaha.
Yeah. It allowed you to see a different side from people. I mean, Michael Jordan hosted.
I was trying to remember some of the Jordan episode.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, that's
the Stuart Smalley Michael Jordan sketch is the one that I remember, which is pretty funny because Jordan kind of breaks in the middle of it. Like, I don't need this. I'm actually pretty good with myself right here.
So it is good. It has touched so many different things. Just think the influence it now has on late night. With NBC's, both of his late night shows are Saturday Night Live alums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be able to, I mean, you go back really after Letterman. I mean, Conan had done SNL, you know, and Fallon was maybe one of that era's like biggest stars in SNL. It's huge. It's huge. I mean, it's just such an enduring part of our entertainment culture. I wonder what it looks like in the future. Like, I think it's so different now, the way we consume TV. The digital shorts kind of started to change that because you didn't really do that stuff before. Now people consume it on YouTube. People will consume it on social media. So where it goes from here will be fascinating, but it's one of the most enduring entertainment properties that we've ever had in the world.
One quick note before we get out of here, to your point of enduring, the whole Sabrina Carpenter espresso thing just exploding from SNL, like that's a testament to the power SNL still has.
Oh, 100%.
When they're really tapped in and they have the right writers and they do it right. Because I'm a person that active person out. So even though I knew who Sabrina Carpenter was just because I was an adult watching Disney Channel for too long, I hadn't really all the way fallen into Sabrina Carpenter, but the whole Domingo espresso thing was so huge that I was finally like, okay, let me tap in.
Yep.
But Ariana Grande singing All Key on Purpose was hilarious.
Yes, that was really good too. I love the show the most when they incorporate music in the best of ways. That's what will hook me every time.
Yep, and they have done that. They have been very consistent with that, and they reminded us of that on Friday night. We'll get more reminders tonight as we have the 3-hour celebration for SNL at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, obviously on NBC and Peacock. We'll be watching for that. All right, headed for the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk some Atlanta United. You know, a lot of Atlanta United soccer. That's what we're going to devote this 9 o'clock hour to. With us, it is Sam. It is Jason. It's Noel, other side of the glass, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Hey, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not.